was wrong, Skipper?
I'm talking to Sorensen on the deck of the freighter below. He's gone loco. Sorensen, listen to me.
We might as well all be blown to pieces. I'm sitting on a mine. I'm going to kick a spike and we'll all be blown up.
Sorensen, get away from that mine. We're going to bring you up.
If you start to bring me up, I'll cut my lines and blow us all to Hades.
This is a true story of the sea, a story based on the life of Captain Gunnar Carlisle. Out of the deep. It was early in April of 1942 when Captain Gunnar Carlisle was preparing to sail for Eritrea, Africa, to salvage scuttled Italian warships. A few days before sailing time, Captain Carlisle was having dinner at the home of Mrs. John Bronson, the widowed sister of Charlie Bartlett, the captain's good friend, first mate, and chief diver's tender. Bartlett, Captain Carlisle, Mrs. Bronson, and her almost 17-year-old son, Gary, made up the dinner party.
Won't you have some more coffee, Captain?
No, thanks. I've had so much food, I wonder whether I'll be able to make my way back to the Blue Falcon tonight.
Well, Captain, if I do say so myself, this sister of mine has been an excellent cook ever since she was knee-high to a hop-toad.
Oh, Charlie, what an expression.
Sure, Mom's a terrific cook.
If that's so, why haven't I been able to put more meat on your bones, Gary?
Because I'm growing up instead of out.
Well, don't worry, fella, you'll fill out pretty soon. As long as you're healthy and strong, you've nothing to worry about.
Thanks, Captain Carlisle. I'm glad to hear you say that, because I've got something to ask you.
Oh?
And Mother said I could, didn't you, Mother?
Yes.
Captain Carlisle, I want to go to the Red Sea with you and Uncle Charlie.
Well, what we have to do, son, is a job for husky men. Not only that, but we're going through hundreds of miles of dangerous water. We'll be dodging the German submarine pack.
I'm not afraid of that or anything, Captain Carlisle. Won't you please let me go?
I'm sorry, but...
This isn't a job for a kid your age, Gary.
Why not? I almost got into the merchant marine.
Sis, do you mean you gave your consent for him to...
I didn't oppose it, Charles. Oh, sure, Gary's got the tang of the sea in his nostrils. You should know that nothing can cure that, Charles.
But what about his schooling?
I promised Mother I'd go on with it after the war's over. Captain Carlisle, we're only 14.
But there wasn't a war on then, Gary.
But don't you see, Captain Carlisle? I'll go anyway inside of a year.
I'm sorry. I can't even consider it.
Gee.
On the 28th of April, 1942, Captain Carlisle set sail under sealed orders for Eritrea and the Red Sea. Some of his divers had had limited experience. Only one, Eric Sorensen, was an old hand at the game. He was a big, raw-boned fellow, with a huge frame and hands as big as a ham, but with a jovial nature that was quite spiriting to the somewhat nervous crew. For now, after 5 days, they had passed through the canal and were headed for the dangerous waters of the Caribbean Sea. On this particular afternoon, Cockney Sharky Peters, ship's carpenter, was playing his accordion for the edification of Eric Sorensen and the Chinese cook, Lo Wing. They were all sprawled on top of the hatch cover, oblivious to the possible danger from lurking submarines.
Down among the dead men, down among the dead men, down, 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 down among the dead men, let him lie. Well, you blighters, don't I deserve a bit of approbation after my artistic efforts?
For singing such a song, you should be thrown overboard. You sing of dead men when we are coming closer and closer to those German subs.
Well, at least, thanks for the left-handed compliment saying I sing.
That was just a slip of the tongue.
You know, maybe you're right, matey. After all, we're out here heading into the blooming Caribbean where them Nazi pig boats are thicker than fleas.
We only live once, Mr. Peters.
Right-o. But I'd kind of like to stretch the vance out for a decent length of time, if you don't mind. Vance.
Listen, Sharky Peters, You make fun of the way I talk.
Now, there is no effect.
I break you in two.
Now, wait a minute, Eric. I was only funning.
Play?
Sing. Righto, Holbein.
Silent, over the bounding main, there's many a stormy wind will blow. Here Jack comes back home again. Silent, over the...
Mr. Peters.
Yes?
Mr. Peters, you are wonderful. I love you.
You love... Oh, no joking, pal. Well, I think you're kind of nice, too.
Someday I teach you how to dive.
Thank you.
Take you down with me, and then... Hey, catch your air horse.
Oh, you gentlemen, please excuse me, Low Wing. I have much work to do.
Where are you going, Low Wing?
Oh, me go catching me sack of potatoes from hole two. Starting making peel potatoes for supper.
Oh, wait a minute. You little Chinese feller, you can't carry 100-pound sack of potatoes from the hold.
Oh, yes. I take your time. You understand?
No, you will not. Hey, Eric Sorensen will get sack for you. I am strong. You are cook. And I love you.
Hey, get your potatoes for you.
Oh, say, he's an odd bloke, ain't he, Low Wing?
Oh, Mr. Stallinson, he good man.
Maybe, but there's a gleam in the blighter's eyes that don't set well with me.
The big Scandinavian lumbered away to hold number two, a broad grin on his features. Down the ladder he went, turned on a light, and started searching through the many boxes and sacks of supplies for potatoes. Suddenly, he heard a sound that was not of his own making. He looked sharply to his right from whence the sound came, and then he called.
Who's there? Come on. I know there's someone. I heard you. Come out from behind those packing cases, or by ye wish I come and get you.
All right, I'll come out.
Well, I'll be...
Hello, Mr. Sorensen.
Who are you? How do you know my name?
Well, I was on board the Blue Falcon the day you signed on in Santa Monica.
Yeah? Well, who are you? By yiminy, you're a stowaway.
Yes, sir. Captain Carlisle wouldn't take me as a crew member, so I came anyway.
You don't say.
I wish you wouldn't laugh at me. I tried to join the Merchant Marine Service, but they turned me down because I wasn't heavy enough.
Ain't laughing at you, fella. Not by a long shot. Any kid what will stow away on a ship these days used to do his part in the war is all right by me, and don't you believe it. What's your name?
Gary Bronson. I'm Mr. Bartlett's nephew.
The mate's nephew? Now, this is wonderful. But how have you gotten by all this time? What have you had to eat?
Well, I brought a lot of stuff with me, but I've run out. I've been eating potatoes and oranges.
Potatoes and oranges? You poor kid. Don't you worry. I'll see that you get plenty to eat. I'll bring it to you every day.
Will you?
Sure. I like kids with spunk like you got. And if you want to be a diver, by ye, nobody should stop you. And what's more, I'll give you diving lessons myself.
Gosh, that's swell of you, Mr. Sorensen.
Have you got blankets?
No, sir.
I will bring you blankets, a pillow, plenty of food and water. And don't you come on deck unless you hear a U-boat alarm. Can you swim, son?
Oh, I'm an expert swimmer.
Expert, eh? Good. You do as I say and keep your shirt on, and by ye, you'll go all the way to the Red Sea with us.
The Blue Falcon went blithely on her way through the Caribbean. Once the crew became restless, nervous, when at the British port of San Lucian in the West Indies, they saw the destroyer Blakely with her entire forecastle and nose blown out. However, Captain Carlisle was equal to the task before him. A spokesman for the crew came to him and made a demand. They wanted to be put ashore at once. The captain confronted the entire group.
Listen to me, man. Listen to me. I've taken the Blue Falcon this far, and I'm going all the way. I want you to stay with me and finish the job we've started. You say you want to go ashore. Okay, you can all go and have a good time.
Mr. Bartlett will give each of you $20 in American or British money. In fact, I'm going to ask him for 20 myself. And what's more, I'm going ashore with you. So line up, get your money, go ashore, and have a good time.
And so, by the grace of God, the day came when the Blue Falcon dropped anchor at Massawa, the chief port of Eritrea, Africa, on the coast of the Red Sea. A short time after the Blue Falcon anchored, the captain and Charlie Bartlett were in the captain's cabin when Sorensen came in.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
What is it, Sorensen?
They have something important to tell you.
Okay, let's have it.
We have a stowaway aboard, Captain Carter.
What? Where did he get on board?
Santa Monica. They have been taking care of him, giving him food and water all during the trip.
Well, you've got your nerve.
What's this all about, Mr. Sorensen?
Your nephew, Mr. Bartlett.
Gary.
That kid stowed away.
He's a fine boy, Captain. I hope you'll be easy with him.
Where is he?
Waiting outside.
Send him in.
Sure, I'll do that. They want to see you, lad.
Yep. Gary, did your mother give her consent to this?
Yes, Uncle Charlie. Captain Carlyle, if you'll forgive me, I'll work hard.
That you will, Mr. Bronson. You've made your bed and you'll lie in it. Go to the forecastle, to the crew's quarters, and stay there until you get further orders.
Yes, sir. Aye, sir.
Hey. I'm sorry, Skipper.
Fool kid.
The sight that met the eyes at Massawa Harbor was one never to be forgotten. On the bottom of the Red Sea lay hundreds of thousands of tons of wreckage, twisted and broken hulls. What a few weeks before had been a formidable navy ready to serve the Axis powers. Coming into the harbor was like treading on forgotten paths in a cemetery of the dead. To Captain Carlyle and his crew of divers and tenders fell one of the most hazardous tasks about which you will soon learn. He was to raise the 23rd Marzo, an Italian freighter lying in only 50 feet of water. Looked like a made-to-order job for Captain Carlyle. Her masts and bridge were sticking out, her smokestack was swaying back and forth with the waves. Two of her main ventilators stood solidly out of the water. When part of the work was completed, the captain called to Charlie Bartlett over the telephone communication.
Hello, Charlie.
Yes, Captain.
We've got this patch secured and cemented.
Good.
How's the temperature up there?
Pretty tough, Skipper. It's 142 in the shade.
Yeah. How are the men taking it?
Not so good. It's chilling heat, Captain.
Just about the same down here. The water's like hot soup. What time is it now?
4:10.
Now, you better knock off for the day. Let the men go ashore. We mustn't work them too hard in this heat.
Good idea, I'd say. They're all about done in.
Okay. Talk to Sorensen and the others. Bring them up.
Right. What about you?
Well, I've broken into hole number 3. I'm going to take a look around in there. Get the others up and then give me some line.
All right. Take it easy, Skipper.
Are they coming up, Uncle Charlie?
All but the captain. He's gone to look into a hole that he's opened. Mr. Peters.
Aye, matey.
Stand by to surface, all but Captain Carlyle.
Handy by, sir.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Sorensen.
Yeah?
Stand by. We're going to bring you up.
Well, it's here most about time. And I ain't going down again today for Carlyle nor you nor anybody. Bring me up.
Start your winch, Mr. Peters.
Aye, sir.
Sorensen and the other two divers were helped out of their diving suits, all exhausted and noticeably ill-tempered from the heat and the grueling work. Captain Carlyle was still below.
Mr. Sorensen acted like he was mad at something.
This heat here in the Red Sea can drive a man nuts, Gary.
How long do you think it'll take to raise a freighter?
Another week, maybe more. Can't tell. We've got to close up all the holds. Close the hatches with timber and cement. All the ventilators. Pump out all the oil and water tanks. All the water from the inside of her. Not until then would she come up.
Hello, Charlie.
I hear you, Skipper. What did you find?
Plenty. And it's bad news. Watch my lines. I'm going up to the deck of the freighter. Then you can bring me up.
What's wrong?
I'll tell you when I come up. Stand by, Charlie.
Mr. Bronson.
Yes, sir.
Put that suit out to dry and then stow it for today.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Charlie, in the cabin. You'd better come too, Mr. Peters.
It'll be a pleasure, Captain. Oh, blimey. This heat would singe me old aunt's wig, that it would.
Where's Sorensen, Charlie?
He and some of the other men went ashore in the gig.
Is he still down the dumps?
I'd say he's in a bad mood, Skipper.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the heat's getting all of them.
Oh, that's for that, sir. And believe me, that Sorensen bloke, he'd be a bad baby if he really blew his top.
Come on inside. Close the door, Mr. Peters. You fellas help yourself to some cold ale. I guess you can use it.
Ale? Oh, that would save a worthless life right now, Captain. I'll get one for you, Mr. Barkley.
Sit down, Charlie.
Thanks, I'll do that. Another hour in that heat, and I think I'd have fried.
Yeah, it's tough on everybody.
I'm worried about the men, Skipper. Particularly Sorensen.
Uh-huh. He's been moody for a couple of days now.
And he's the most valuable man we have.
I know it.
Mr. Bartlett.
Thanks.
Charlie, do you know what I found in that hole?
What?
Well, happy days, matey.
It's full of mines.
Mines?
Mines, did you say?
That's right. Gentlemen, right now we're anchored over about 20 tons of TNT.
TNT? Oh, Satan's teeth.
Hey, what are you going to do about it, Skipper?
Why, it's enough to blow us all, including the Blue Falcon and all the fishes in the blinking sea, clean to perdition.
Quite right, Mr. Peters.
Oh, dear.
The mines are all in individual crates, Charlie, and we've got to bring them up one at a time, put them on a barge, tow them out to sea, and sink them.
Blimey, will you have another ale, Mr. Bartley?
I think I can use one, Mr. Peters.
Charlie Bartlett and Captain Carlyle talked the matter over for some time. Then it was decided that they must depend on Eric Sorensen. The other divers were not to be used in the dangerous operation, and none of the crew members was to be told about the mines until it became necessary. The next morning, Captain Carlyle summoned Sorensen to his cabin. Charlie was also there. Both men studied the big fellow carefully.
Well, Mr. Sorensen, with good luck, we should be through with this job in another 2 weeks.
Good. I am sick of it. And this heat. So are all the men. It's too much for them.
Sure, it's a tough job.
But we're in a war, Mr. Sorensen. And we've all got to do our parts.
Don't talk to me like I was a baby. What do you want of me? Why did you ask me to come to your cabin, Captain Carlyle?
Because I want your help, Mr. Sorensen.
What have I been giving you?
Now, wait a minute. I've never worked with you before, but I happen to know that you're one of the best divers in the business. Not only that, but you're a man with a lot of guts.
That's true, isn't it, Mr. Sorensen?
Sure. What about it?
Sorensen, I'm not going to tell anyone, diver or crew member, anyone about this except you. I'm depending on you. Hole number 3 is filled with mines. I'm going to first bring them up to the deck of the freighter, all of them. Then we'll take them up to the surface, put them on a barge, take them out to sea, and sink them. You and I, the two of us, can do it. Will you help me?
You think that I'm afraid?
If I thought so, I wouldn't have asked you.
What do you say, fella?
I'm not afraid of anything.
I promise you a good-sized bonus.
They do not want a bonus. They want to get this job over it and get away from here. The men are sick. Sick from this hellhole. I do not like to see sick men. If you're ready, Captain Carlyle, I will go and get into my diving suit.
Thanks, Sorensen. I'll be waiting for you. I'll be right there with you.
I will be waiting for you.
Oh, lummy, Captain. Excuse me for saying it, but the bloke's got a wild look in his eye.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Well, we have to take a chance on him. Can't trust an inexperienced diver, Charlie. One false step, one wrong move of inexperienced hands, and we'll all be blown to kingdom come.
Kingdom come? Captain, I need another touch of that ale.
No, you don't. Come on, get my diving gear ready, Mr. Peters.
An hour passed, and the captain and Sorensen were still working below. The captain in the hold and Sorensen on the deck of the sunken freighter, handling the crated mines as the captain sent them up to him. Sharky Peters, Gary Brunson, and Mate Charlie Bartlett were at the pumps in the winch.
Hello, Charlie.
Yes, Skipper.
I have another secured to the cable. This is the last one. Cross your fingers and take it easy.
Gotcha.
Tell Sorensen, and then bring me up. I want to talk to him over the phone before we start bringing those things up to the barge.
Right. All right, Mr. Peters. Start your winch. Keep it slow. Watch your footage.
Right, me pink. I'll be careful, matey.
Uncle Charlie, what's this rubber mask attached to the compressor?
That's a shallow water diving rig, the kind pearl divers use sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, but I wasn't sure. And you put this lead belt around your waist, huh? To help hold you down?
That's right. Just an emergency rig that we have ready all the time.
Gee, I'd like to try it sometime.
Never mind about that now. Stand by your post and watch that compressor motor.
Yes, sir.
All right, Charlie. I'm on deck. Keep going and bring me up.
All right, lively, Gary. Mr. Peters, help the captain over the side.
Yes, sir.
Get on the other side, son. He'll learn what this is all about before long. Now, give him a lift now.
Yes,
sir. And now, the first thing, you open the faceplate, Sammy.
Don't talk so much, Mr. Peters. Open the faceplate.
Of course, matey. I was only trying to... There we are, Captain. Thanks.
And what goes, Skipper?
Oh, not so good. You want your helmet off, Captain?
No, I'm going down again soon. Charlie, have you been talking to Sorensen?
Yes.
I waved my arm to him when I started topside. He didn't give me a tumble.
Oh.
And he's sitting on top of one of the crated mines.
Sitting on? Oh, blimey.
Mines?
Yes, you might as well know, too, Gary. The deck of the freighter's covered with mines that we're going to bring up.
Gee.
Give me the telephone, Charlie.
Here you are.
Hello. Sorensen.
Hello. Who is this?
Captain Carlyle.
Why did you quit, Captain?
There are no more mines in the hold. Listen to me, Mr. Sorensen. I think you'd better come topside for a rest now.
I am not coming up.
Now, look, take it easy, old man. I know this has been a tough job, and...
I am not coming up.
Listen, fellow. Now, listen to me. Get this. You've got to rest before we tackle the rest of the job. Do you understand?
I am going to stay here. The men are sick. I am sick, too.
What is it, Skipper?
He's gone loco. Sorensen! Sorensen, listen to me!
We might as well all be blown to pieces. I'm sitting on a mine. I'm going to kick a spike and we'll all be blown up.
Sorensen! Sorensen, get away from that mine. We're going to bring you up.
If you start to bring me up, I'll cut my line and blow up all the Hades.
Hey, what's up, Captain? He's threatening to set off the mine. Charlie, get me over the side in a hurry.
What, Skipper, what can you do?
There's only one chance. Now, listen. I want you to let me down the stern side. I'll try to come up behind him without him seeing me. If I can shut off his exhaust valve, then I'll call you on the phone. You give him a blast of air, and he'll shoot to the surface in a hurry.
That's the only thing we can do. The guy's crazy with the heat.
Captain, Uncle Charlie, Mr. Sorensen likes me. We're good friends. Let me put on this shallow diving mask and swim down to the deck of the freighter. I can hold his attention while the captain comes up behind him to shut off his exhaust valve. Please, Captain, I know it'll work.
Why not, Skipper? We're all in this now.
There's no time to be wasted.
He won't kick the thing off if Gary's down there in front of him, Captain. The lad might save all our lives.
All right, let's go. Close my faceplate and get me over the stern.
Righto.
Show me how to put this diving mask on, Uncle Charlie.
Put the lead belt on first.
Yes, sir.
Charlie, keep talking to Sorensen. Don't stop for a second.
Sorensen, I can't hear you clearly. Talk to me, fella, will you? Look, you've done enough work for one day. We want you to come up. We've got some nice cold ale waiting for you. Do you hear me, Mr. Sorensen?
The men are sick. They might as well be dead.
Don't talk that way, fella. You're just tired. Come on up and take a good rest. And then we'll all go ashore and...
Too much heat. Why should anyone want to live in this heat? I'm going to kick one of the spikes and blow it off.
Hello. Hello, Sorensen.
The boy! He came down to see me.
Sure, that's Gary Bronson. He's your friend, Sorensen. My nephew, remember?
Sure, he's a good boy. He's my friend. He's standing in front of me now. He said he was a good swimmer. By evening, he is.
Charlie, switch the phone to the captain. Hurry.
Aye, sir.
Hello, Captain.
Get ready to blast him full of air, Charlie. I'm almost up to him. I'll tell you when I close his exhaust valve.
Okay, Skipper. Stand by the air pump, Chucky. Ready to blast him.
Say the word, matey, and say it fast, like.
Ready, Charlie. Gary's holding his attention.
We're ready.
Now,
Chucky! Now!
Well, Charlie, your nephew has done his good deed for today. Sorensen shot up like a balloon. Stand by to pull him out.
And so ended one of the most hair-raising experiences in Captain Carlyle's life. Sorensen was sent to a hospital at Massawa. Within a few days, he was perfectly normal, unable to remember anything about what had happened. The mines were eventually raised, towed to sea, and sunk. The Italian freighter was brought to the surface and reconditioned. The Blue Falcon returned to Santa Monica, ready for another adventure. You have heard another in the series, Out of the Deep, based on the true life adventures of Captain Gunnar Carlyle, deep sea diver, soldier of fortune. These stories are dramatized for radio by Ted Maxwell, who also portrays the role of Captain Carlyle. Other featured players were Charles Steele, Charlie Lung, Martha Wentworth, Eddie Firestone Jr., and Russ Thornton. Music was composed and played by Joseph Enos. The production and direction was by Homer Canfield. Your narrator is Don Stanley. Be sure to be with us at this same time next week for another adventure in
Out of the Deep.
This program came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.